Awesome. Shout out to Ignacio. So, like Ignacio said, this is my first preach. It's very exciting and it is very cool that I'm here this morning. So like I said, my name is Matthew and I'll tell you a bit more about my life now quickly. But how I got here this morning was I spoke to Vince, who leads Warmer AM Congregation. He might have been here before. Yeah. And I said, Vince, I want to learn to preach. Like, how do I do this thing? And we spoke for a while and then he just sent a message on the elders group and said, hey, Matt wants to preach, who's keen? And 5 minutes later, I got a message from Ignacio saying, hey, you coming to preach? And I was like, oh my goodness, that was scary. But I'm very excited for this morning. Preaching, I think, is quite a scary thing to do. But like after this worship time, I kind of just feel like I don't need to preach. Like the Lord's already done so much that anything I say is just doesn't mean anything. God's already done so much. But I'm excited. So, like I said, my name's Matt. I've been in Option Life Church since 2019. I moved here from Cape Town and I love this church. I grew up in a great church. I really, really did. But when I moved to Option Life Church, everything about church changed for me. And it's been wonderful being here. I'm a deacon. And like I also said, I lead Altitude, which is our gap year program at Oxygen. And my wife, Jamie, she was here earlier, but she's feeling very sick, so she had to go home. She started feeling sick last night. She woke up this morning, and I was like, are you coming this morning? And she goes, ugh. And I was like, okay, cool. So she got dressed and stuff, and then during the prayer meeting, she started to feel very sick. So she went home. But because she's not here, I get to talk about her a little bit. So it's cool. And before I do that, so when I was prepping this preach, I had a fairly strong sense of what I felt God wanted to do. And then as soon as we got to the prayer meeting this morning, I felt God changing things. And then I started to feel like, okay, cool. I don't know where today is going. And then worship happened and worship was wonderful. Just hearing about how much God loves us, how he is pursuing us. And in the prayer meeting, I was reminded of the prophetic word that Ignacio got when he planted this congregation of God is romance in Galvindale. And that is what he did this morning in worship. Just teaching us how to like love God. How to say, I love you, Jesus. Like, it's hard saying I love you. A friend of mine, he's just started dating a girl. And he, for the first while, has really struggled to say, I love you. And she's like, I love you, I love you. He's like, I don't want to say that yet. And that's been really hard for them. And God broke into his heart a few weeks ago. And he ran to her after church and said, I love you. And it was amazing and stuff. And God is doing that in our hearts. He is softening our hearts and he's helping us love Jesus. And that's what I'm excited to talk about this morning, is that we can love Jesus. And so my wife, Jamie, we grew up very differently. I grew up in a family where our dinner nights and stuff were hot dogs and a movie on the couch. And I loved it. Jamie grew up going to fancy restaurants and like eating out a lot and all these kind of things. And so when we started dating, my like first response of what a date should look like is hot dogs on the couch, like a very just casual, very relaxed, or going on a picnic to the beach or something like that. And I very quickly realized that that was not her thing. She wants to go to fancy restaurants. She wants to wear nice dresses and makeup and all these kind of things and really be romanced. It's not just like a cool, let's go for a walk and eat a hot dog or something like that. And I had to learn that over our relationship, and we've been together for 6 years now, been married for 3, and I still get it wrong. Sometimes I still say, hey, let's go something, and she's also learned to enjoy hot dogs on the beach and that kind of thing, but I've also had to learn to do what she loves, and that is to take her to restaurants and make her feel loved and special and all these kind of things. And as I said in the prayer meeting, I felt God remind me of that word that Ignacio gave of wanting to romance Galvindale. God wants to romance us, and he wants us to learn how to be romanced by him. And the thing with Jamie is when I do take her on dates, they cost money. For me, hot dogs are cheap, it's great, it's easy, they taste wonderful, but a dinner date is a lot more expensive than that. And for her, when I do it, it shows intention. It shows that I'm willing to pay a price for her love. Not that she loves me more because I pay, but because I love her, I'll pay the price. And God is the same for us. And this morning, what I want to talk about is the fact that we have been bought by a price. Each and every one of us are bought by a price. And We're going to get into some scripture. But the first thing I want to say is that from the very beginning of time, there's been a fight for our lives. A fight between the devil and a fight between Jesus. And that it's a violent war. It's not one that goes on quietly. It's very loud. It's aggressive. And the devil, his only plans for our life is to kill, steal, and destroy. Nothing else. People can live in the world and entertain the things of the world thinking, oh, it's going to be good, it's going to be fine. But the devil's plan is to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen. Nothing less. God's plan is eternal life, provision, and hope. Amen. The complete opposite of killing, stealing, and destroying. And there's a war for our souls. And it's not a war that's won with guns or anything like that. It's actually won in sacrifice. And Jesus wants, he wants our hearts. And he's paid for our hearts, actually. The devil doesn't pay for our hearts. He just messes with it. So we are going to look into some scripture. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, 19 and 20. And it's just before this, Paul is busy writing to the church in Corinthians. And he's acting a bit like a good dad. My dad was a great dad. When I was naughty, he would correct me. When I was good, he'd encourage me and love me and stuff. And Paul is doing this a lot of the time. If you read the New Testament, Paul's bringing lots of love and encouragement, but he's also saying, hey, listen up. Like, you need to listen up now. You're being naughty kind of thing. And towards the end of this chapter in Corinthians, he's in the, hey, you're being a bit naughty right now. And he lists a whole bunch of things that these Christians were doing. And he kind of wraps it up with this. And he says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have been received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And the part I want to focus on this morning is that you were bought with a price. And then honor God with your bodies. And so when Paul says bought with a price, he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about our lives. And Jesus, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And God paid a price for your life. Not for your loaf of bread, not for your dishwasher, but for your life. And it's like, sometimes it's, I want, like, Paul would say things that you're like, if you just say, I paid for you, what does that mean? It doesn't make sense to our, like, our brains. I was trying to think, like, in my own life, where are the things that I've bought and all these kind of things. And Paul's taking a real life scenario and making things spiritual. So I'm going to try that this morning. And so in January, I got a new car. I love it. It's my dream car. It's a 1998 Toyota RAV4. It is older than I am. It's almost 30 years old. And for a lot of people, they think, why on earth are you buying a 30-year-old car? It's because I love it. I saw it one day, and I was just in love with this car, and I started going all over Facebook Marketplace, trying to find it and these kind of things. And I found a deal. This car, great price. The previous owner had done all the bodywork, done all the fixing of the engine, that kind of stuff. And it was like borderline, like as close to brand new as you possibly can get for a 30-year-old car. And I was sold. So I messaged the guys that, hi, is this still available on Facebook Messenger? And we had this conversation, we went to go look at the car, and I loved it. It was great, there's no issues with it, all that kind of thing. So him and I spoke and we made a deal and we shook hands. And then I had to do a whole bunch of paperwork and signing and stuff and to transfer the ownership from the previous guy to me. And when I went to go look at the car, the moment I saw it, I knew it was the one that I wanted to get. But it didn't make it mine. There had to be the whole, hey, let's talk about this thing, or like, are you negotiable, da 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 da, and then like a shaking of hands saying, okay, cool, I'll take the car. Even then, it wasn't mine. If you ever bought a car or a house or anything big, there has to be a change of ownership. We have to sign paperwork and he has to say, signed that Matthew Anderson is the one person in this car and I'm transferring over to his name. And I have to say, I, Matthew John Anderson, are hereby signing saying that this car is now mine. It's no longer this guy's. That piece of paper is the thing that changes the ownership from previous owner to me. That piece of paper. But if you look at that piece of paper, it doesn't cost anything. And that piece of paper, if I just take a piece of paper to you and say, hey, sign this, you'd be like, why should I do that? Like, that makes no sense. It's the, hey, I'm paying for this car that makes other person sign the piece of paperwork to say this car now belongs to someone else. So Jesus did that. When Jesus, when I said there's a war for your life, Jesus loves you. And even this morning, as God has been just teaching us how much He loves us, He died on the cross because He loves you. He paid for your sin because He loves you. He bought you with a price because He loves you. Not because it makes Him feel better or because it makes Him like more worthy, because He loves you. And that was the price He was willing to pay. But I want to talk a bit about the old owner and the new owner of our lives. And the old owner is us. It's our flesh, it's our sinful desires, it's the devil, it's all these kind of things that we always doing wrong, we're sinning, we all these kind of things. And Jesus in John 4 actually says, those who practice sin are slaves to sin. So if I just continue to live my life sinning, I'm actually a slave to that thing. It's my master, it's my owner. And in Galatians 5 verse 19 to 21, Paul gives a very clear description of what it means to be slaves to sin. And he says this: when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, for my life, before I gave my life to Jesus, my previous owner was myself. And that's, I didn't do all those things, but that is a picture of my life. It was bad because I was in control. I was living according to my fleshly desires, the things that I want to do. I was not pleasing God at all. And then I became a Christian and I gave my heart to Jesus. And when I said, okay, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are raised from the dead, and I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I said, okay, cool. My ownership has gone from the devil to Jesus. It's gone from being owned by myself and being led by my own flesh to saying, God, you are my king now. You're my owner. And just like when I bought my car, the previous owner, if he wanted to, he could take that car. It's a 4x4. It's designed to be in the mountains, off-road, all these kind of things. If his plan for that car was just to drive to work and back, he can do it. He doesn't have to use the four-wheel drive. He doesn't have to do anything. He can just lay in back. That's up to him because he owned the car. When I got the car and the papers transferred from this dude's name to my name, I want to use that car to go to the mountains. I wanted like off-roading and off-roading. And the other day I was driving to St. Francis and I saw like just some like off-road stuff and I pulled off the highway and like off-roading because I could. It's my car. I can do what I want with it. And I tell the car what to do. The car doesn't say I'm going to stick to just driving to work and back. In the same way, in my previous life, I would do all those things. When God became my owner, when He bought me with a price, He tells me how to live my life now. He says, okay, Matt, you're not just driving to work and back every day. I've got a plan for your life. I've got a certain way of living, actually, that you need to stick to. And it's because He loves us. He bought us because He loves us. And I want to do a quick comparison of the two. And so the previous one is talking about all these things, lustful pleasures, drunkenness, envy, wild parties, and all these kind of things. And then in Romans 12, verse 9 to 20, it gives one of, I think, the best descriptions of what a Christian should be like. And it starts with this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves, never lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the low people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of anyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. Big differences. The one talking about drunkenness and anger, these kind of things. This fights forgiving others. Be at peace with everyone. I don't want to do that. My flesh wants to do otherwise. My flesh wants to do all these bad things. But it says practice hospitality. I don't want to do that. I want to be comfortable. I want to wake up late and I don't have to like make breakfast for someone else, like, but actually when the ownership of my life changed from my own selfish desires to being owned by God, I had to change everything. And reading the two, it's pretty clear there's a big difference on how your life needs to look based on who owns you. One is full of evil and one is full of life, joy, peace, patience, all these kind of things that God has for us. And for us here, there needs to be that change. And for us sitting here, some of us maybe do love Jesus. Some of us maybe are still getting to know Jesus. Some are somewhere in the middle. God's got a plan for your life. He loves you. And he wants the second verse for you. He doesn't want that old stuff. He doesn't want the bad stuff. He bought you with a price because he loves you. Just like when I saw that 1998 RAV4 in white, I said, that's my car. I'm going to message that guy and do what I can to get it. Jesus saw you. He said, I love you. I'm going to send my son Jesus to die on a cross for you. So wash your sins away, to forgive you of everything evil you've done, so that you can live this way, that you can live according to me, that you can know me and know a life in you. And that's essentially what I want to say today, that Jesus loves you. He chose to die on a cross for you. He chose to sacrifice himself because he loves you. Like I said earlier, it doesn't matter actually to God whether I'm alive or not. He loves me, but God is God before he made me. Me being here doesn't change him. Me being a Christian doesn't change him or make him better or worse. He's God. But he loves us, and that's why he wants us in his family. And I think something that's important to say is, like, when I bought my car, there was a price fixed to it. And it's because it's a 30-year-old car, it wasn't that expensive. It's a lot of money. Like, but if you compare a 30-year-old RAV4 to the 2026 Mercedes-Benz S-Class, Ford Mustang, Lamborghini, whatever you want, the prices are very different. And as much as, like, the picture of me buying a car and transferring of ownership and all these kind of things is so similar to what Jesus did for us, a very big difference between the purchase of a car and the purchase over our lives is that my life costs the same as everyone else's.
Yes.
Whether I grew up in a good Christian home and didn't do drugs and gangsterism and all these kind of things, or if I did all the rest, I was the worst of the worst, my sin cost the same thing. Whether I have murdered, raped, all these kind of things, or if I just stole a piece of Lego from someone else, that sin cost Jesus everything. And this morning, kind of towards closing, is to know that my sin cost Jesus' life. Like, he didn't need to, like, he chose to die on a cross for us. He chose to pay for it, and he knew that there are going to be people in this world who were the worst of the worst, who really were evil. And he knew there was going to be people who were good, who did their best to live perfect lives, who had their moral compass was so true north that they wouldn't even judge someone for how they dressed or whatever. They would never steal a piece of Lego, no matter how innocent it is. But he knew that all of us needed Jesus, all of us needed saving, and all of us needed his love. All of us need his love. And there's a really cool scripture that I'm going to kind of say it towards landing. It's 1 Peter 19, verse 20. It says this: "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. That is the drugs, the drinking, the anger, the wild parties, that kind of thing. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was paid by the precious blood of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God." And gold and silver changes value. What the cost of my 30-year-old car is different to a Lamborghini. But the blood of Jesus pays for every sin. My sin versus your sin versus everyone else's sin costs the same, and it costs Jesus' life. And and for me, it just speaks about how much Jesus loves us. And he chose to die. He chose to give his life up because he loves us. And as I was talking earlier about taking my wife on dates and that kind of thing to romance her and to make her fall more in love with me, so eventually when I said, "Hey, will you marry me?" she said yes. And even now, as we married, happy wife is a, what's it? Happy wife? Happy wife, happy life. I need to keep doing that. I need to keep romancing. I need to keep pursuing her, loving her. And today there's two calls I want to make. The first is that if you don't know Jesus at all, He wants to know you. He died on a cross for you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He's paid a price for your life, and he is so happy he did. There's no level of like, oh, was that a bad investment or anything? Your life was the best investment Jesus could ever make with the blood, the price of his blood. And the second thing is, if you know God, but you don't know his love, you haven't feel like you've been romanced by him. You've kind of felt like someone just walked in, paid a bunch of money, and then left on a date. They left you waiting at a table, but your dinner was paid for. That's not what God wants. Jesus wants you to know, like you know, that when he says, hey, let's go for dinner, he is sitting at that table, and he is so invested. He's listening to every single word you say, and he is saying, buy what you want. Eat whatever you want. So I'm so, I just want to be with you, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you, because I love you. And that's what Jesus wants for us this morning. This is very different to where I thought I was going to go with this preach. But the truth is, Jesus loves us. He loves us, and he's paid a price because he loves you. And there's that second long passage of scripture in Romans. It talks about like doing all these things that is good. It's, like I said earlier, I don't necessarily want to do that. I want to live according to my own ways. But when I think of Jesus and the price he paid for me, I suddenly go, okay, cool. It's worth living like this. And in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, it's my last verse that I want to bring. It says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It's basically saying this. Jesus paid for you because he loves you.